Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict. I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict.
Russ and Rocky.
Other names. Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
And I'm Andrew Loophole, and I'm working towards having more of a trading problem.
That's good. We'll get you there. What's up, everybody? Welcome to session 420 of the TradeX podcast, where even though the network went away, the DAP is always here to stay. So drop a DAP if you're with us. We appreciate all of you. And as you hear tonight, we have another new guest. We have Andrew Loophole. Andrew, how are you?
I'm great, guys. Really happy to be here. It's awesome.
Yeah. Andrew's been a listener of the show. He's been a question writer for the show. So it's always good to have Andrew on. So Andrew, before we get into our interview, why don't you tell everyone kind of socials where they can find what you do? I know you don't do a ton of content anymore, but just where people can find you.
Yeah. You know, I'm always, always sharing, always posting. I post a wide variety of just like more, probably more lifestyle, but I, you know, my focus of course during season is always a lot of it's fantasy football or, you know, promoting you guys, but you can find me at Andrew Loophole on Twitter. You can find me on Blue Sky at Sip Sound Sports, also under my name. You can find me on Instagram, Andrew underscore Loophole. And you can also find me on TikTok at Sip Sounds Sports.
Love that. We don't have a TikTok or an Instagram. Rocky, do we have an Instagram?
Not that I know of. I don't have Instagram, so.
I've been on Twitter since its early inception, and yeah. So I try and stay abreast. That they some of these other, you know, platforms go by the wayside with me out of necessity. Yes. But if I see some, you know, need for that, or if I think I could be part of that, or you know, spread the good word for whatever I'm, you know, trying to share, then I'll join up and try and do it. So yeah, I do a little. I just really started TikTok in the last year and. Navigating that.
Love that.
Sure.
Before we get into the interview, Rocky's a little under the weather, so in case anyone hears he says I agree a lot, it's because he's like trying to stifle a cough all night. So feel better, Rocky. But Andrew, we have a first interview for our first time guest. So how long have you been playing fantasy for?
I've been playing a pretty long time. Approximately, I was trying to narrow this down in my head, but probably since like 92 or 93. And I kind of tied it into, kind of ties into some of the questions that went out today about our first game system. But like my first real fantasy experience was actually kind of tied in with my dad was a pastor of a church growing up, and we had a couple of the you know, younger men in the church ask my dad if he wanted to join a computer fantasy league. Personal computer fantasy league with me and my little brother, just as kind of a fun activity to do on a weeknight or whatever.
Yeah.
So he got us into that because we weren't a PC family even yet.
Yeah.
And so I don't even remember the actual title of the PC game, but it was pretty involved with, I'd say, it must have been like some kind of early precursor to like the Madden world, but we were drafting offensive players. We were even drafting offensive linemen. And we would, you know, all of our drafts would get entered into the computer, and then the system would generate the actual game script as we picked our plays kind of one by one. We'd always have like four options, and then it would have a black screen where it would just kind of like, Oregon Trail style kind of spell out what's happening. You know, Montana back to pass, 10 yards deep over to my
it sounds excruciating.
It was, but watch. It was all we had. And we had, and so it was like, you know, my first, I was talking to someone on Twitter the other day about my first GOAT, fantasy GOAT was Herman Moore, the wide receiver for the Detroit Lions, back in his original heyday. Yeah. When he was catching 100 plus passes. So he was my GOAT. I had him like 2 or 3 years in a row in our league. You know, I'm drafting guys like Randall McDaniel and Joe Alt's dad, John Alt, you know, at full offensive lineman. So that was really my first like gateway into, you know, kind of actual fantasy, you know, later down the road, more towards like my, you know, probably early like college years.
Yeah. It sounds like the thing where you like, the toy where you typed it out and then it said it back to you. That's like how the stats were given to you.
It was actually probably very similar to that. it was digitally looking.
Yes.
But yeah, so I've been at this a long time, just always a lifelong just football enthusiast, Chicago Bears fan, of course,
yes.
Growing up here, you know, here we go. But yeah, so I've always been an enthusiast and it's, you know, just evolved over the years.
Yeah. And then how long have you been playing Dynasty for?
I've been playing Dynasty for 1 year.
Yeah.
1 year. I was about to say at the beginning, I have when you invited me on, I wanted to say, you know, I'm like, I think I have a little bit of an imposter syndrome being on the pod tonight where I don't really belong, but it's also probably a good thing to have maybe, you know, someone who isn't as experienced. Because I like hearing the opinions, you know, I'm here to kind of soak up things. And that's kind of how I've been for the last year and a half now. Coincidentally, it was right after I always kind of was interested in Dynasty, but I just didn't have the opportunity. And I just kind of heard so many horror stories of like other people, like everyone bails and there's all these orphans. And I'm like, does anyone stick with it? Because I didn't have any friends doing Dynasty that I talked to immediately. Mm-hmm. But at the end of last year's post Scott Fishbowl downtown, mm-hmm. I ended up catching up with Mike Serpico Streets, mm-hmm. and also in my group was afterwards was Rob Wozniak, Rob mm-hmm. Woz, and then also Chris Joel Smith, who I've been friends with now through Scott Fish. Mm-hmm. They said, oh, you got to get in a dynasty. We got to get you in this dynasty league. We got an opening. I'm like, I just don't think I can do that right now. I just don't know if I can commit to that, you know, just with life.
Yeah.
And I said, I just want to be sure that I'm doing it with the right guys, you know, that are going to be committed. And then I learned they were all like true dynasty degenerates. And it was one of John McGlynn's leagues.
Yes, the home leagues. Yep.
Yes, John McGlynn's home leagues. And I knew John from a previous Scott Fish. So I said, you know, and then a couple months passed, they hit me up again and said, hey, we still got an opening for this thing. Why don't you get in? And I said, okay, we're going to do a live draft and everything. I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to plunge in, go through the draft and, you know, I'll just make my way and I'll find my way. I just have to start because I wasn't consuming Dynasty content either. So, you know, of course, you know, guys, we all know guys. But it's more long-term strategy and what's the best strategy. And then, you know, also the fact that like I had to start doing more research in the college world, aside from being just, you know, a casual NCAA fan.
Yeah.
At this point, you know, love Michigan. That's my college team. Go Blue. But, you know, aside from, you know, just the immediate news, I wasn't doing deep dives on the college, the deeper college ranks. So that's kind of where I've spent my last year is trying to catch up. Totally murdered my draft badly. It was not good. It turned out to be a pretty horrendous year for me. And so I'm
that's why you trade. Russ has always said he's a horrible drafter in startups. Or rookie drafts.
I'm not an immediate pull trigger guy. I still have to think long term. And also I still hold to some of my redraft roots where until a camp is settled or until the next thing happens or guys are signed, I'm really reluctant to move pieces, which is still a thing I struggle with. But so yeah, now I've pretty much started immediately going into rebuild mode after my first draft. I totally just said, okay, and I still don't know if I'm doing the right thing. And actually, you know, Frank, the first thing that kind of got us talking about coming on the pod was when I messaged you, I'm like, when I saw you were doing Dynasty, I just know you was breaking the chat with Scott Fish. And I'm like, oh, okay. Frank knows Dynasty. Okay. I'm just going to message him and see what he thinks of this trade.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how this whole really started. It was like, okay, it was me selling off Genty.
Yep.
Which was probably my only good pick from the year before. And starting kind of my rebuild that way, because I had ended up with having, you know, I left the year with zero quarterbacks. It's a super flex, pretty standard half point PPR. Some other things got elevated, but pretty standard, you know, super flex scoring. And yeah, so immediately had to just cut it. I was like, this lineup will not go anywhere. I don't know if I can reshape it fast, but I know I have to restart. So I immediately started trying to sell off some assets to hopefully bolster my quarterback room for beginners. Cause I have none. So it was pretty brutal to start, but you know, it's okay. I'm like, I had to change my mindset and say, listen, it's not going to get fixed tomorrow. This has just got to be long-term. Maybe it'll turn out to be quicker, but I definitely have to like shift my team's conversation in a different direction here. So yeah.
And we added you to what? TA 10?
Yeah. TA 10.
Which is exciting. Just look at it this way. TA 10 and Trade Addicts Leagues in general, I have always like, and this is how Russ and Rocky kind of taught me, like, if you want a league where you're just going to kind of click some buttons, TA 10 and like see what you can like types of trades and put your toe in the water in terms of like doing something fast thinking, TA is a good spot to do it because the buy-ins aren't that crazy and like everyone's, you can always get it back, right? It's a liquid market as opposed to some of these other leagues where if you make a trade, you might not get like the same guy back or like, cause everything's so locked down. So it's very liquid. And I think it's a good way to try things. So
yeah, exactly. And that's what was my thing too. It's like, I can't just be spending like, you know, $200 on five different dynasty leagues to start my life. This is not the way, as Mandalorian would say, this is not the way. So I had to just do what was good for me too, just on a realistic life level of what can I handle? Cause I'm already, you know, I'm not a complete fantasy degenerate. So, you know, I have like, you know, obligations. So I'm like, okay, I'm already signing up for all these, you know, charity leagues and my own home league. And I just can't do it. So I had to do what was smart for me, but I definitely wanted to get get my toe in the water, understand just, you know, one thing is just understanding like dynasty values period. Then the next thing was like understanding the dynasty values within my league.
Yeah.
Like, and understanding, you know, like if you don't, I kind of knew some guys in my league just a little bit. So I could maybe understand where they're coming from. But if I'm in a league with, you know, 10, 12 new guys, I kind of have to test the waters, see what's getting sent at me.
Yeah.
You know, they're probably trying to find out if I'm just going to accept the BS trade. You know, so, you know, you just got to kind of, you know, I had to spend a year just to test the market and see what guys were about. So, you know, it's just, you know, it's learning.
Yeah.
Learning market.
And what are like, so I don't know, do you have enough for a best and worst trade? Because I have the trade that you asked me about.
Yeah, there's that one.
Let's do that. So
I got another quick one for you before that.
Yes.
I can't remember my draft order exactly, but I did take Genty, and then I think – I don't know if it's one or – I must have been second. I think I took Hunter in the second, Travis Hunter, or maybe the third Dynasty startup. I don't know which pick it was. Anyways, I had Hunter, and then so after the – you know, the Hunter, Travis Hunter season happens, and then, like, you know, that first wave of when that news came out that he's not – you know, he's going to be majority D now. And plus the rise of Parker and, you know, all of the other things that are, you know, around that Jaguars wide receiving room. I just said, between what happened during the year, still not trusting the offense for him completely, coming off injury, and now I hear coach speak about him, like, there's still not enough meat on the bone for me to understand how he's going to get the targets in my brain. Yeah. I just couldn't do it. So I just said, okay. I'm like, I got on Sleeper in the league. They said, I'm like, I put Hunter on the block. I said, send me offers. And so yeah. within about 5 minutes, I get the offer and I traded him for a third. So I took it. I said, okay. I'm like, I'm going to get someone in the third round who's going to play more than him as a receiver or whatever position I need.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's going to be someone else's problem. So that was just one of those, like, I was definitive on. I know I posted it on like an early Saturday morning as a funny on Twitter. And I kind of got roasted a little bit. He already gave up on him. Oh, he already don't gave up on him.
Twitter. It's a bad, thing.
Nah, I don't, yeah. I feel no judgment, man. So anyways, but you know, then it kind of kept going. I was like, you know what, as the months went by here and we're still kind of now we're mini camp. I don't feel any worse about it.
Right.
That's not my problem. If he's great, maybe I need to try and get him back. Plus, the other thing was I had Brian Thomas as well.
Yes.
So I kind of doubled up on like, oh, if Brian Thomas doesn't work out, I'll have Hunter or vice versa. You know, kind of have I thought at the time have the two best. But I'm like, listen, if I'm going to hitch my ride to anything, I think it'll be Thomas. And mm-hmm. I will hold on him for a bit. I don't think his story is over. But yeah, so Hunter, that was one of my first, that was probably my first trade was, trading Travis Hunter immediately away for a third rounder this year.
And
probably not the best year now, but
isn't it crazy by the way that Travis Hunter and Brian Thomas Jr. got to the same level, Rocky, especially where Brian Thomas Jr. was like top 10 after his rookie season already. So
yeah,
it's just crazy.
Yeah. And then go ahead.
Oh, sorry, Rocky. I thought you wanted to add in there. I was just holding.
No, I'm good.
Okay, but yeah, no, it was like I said, I'll be a Brian Thomas believer, but I just didn't want to. I know. Oh well, it's a deep roster spot, and who cares? Oh, there'll be another. This guy was never going to play or run enough routes to matter unless they all of a sudden decide to take him off D. But I don't think that's going to happen. The wide receiver room there, I do like it. I just don't see, even if he plays, what are you going to do for me? I mean, how am I going to even get you in a lineup?
Yeah.
In a half PPR.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I was just going to say, I thought it was funny that you said that you had them both figuring if one doesn't work out, the other will, and then they both kind of didn't work out.
That was the story of the
and
team.
And then Parker
man.
Washington showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. So now I'm trying to trade for Parker Washington.
And then the other trade he did was, Rocky, get a load of this. Tucker Kraft, Ricky Pearsall, and Ashton Jeanty he gave away for Brenton Strange, Theo Johnson, Travion Henderson, the 502, the 601, the 113, a 27 first, a 27 third, and $10 a fab because it had to be there.
What? I can't even process all that without seeing.
So break it. So here we go. We have Kraft and Pearsall and Jeanty.
Yeah, well, I got that part of it.
For Strange and Theo, Travion Henderson, a 26 first, a 27 first, and then a bunch of other picks.
Yeah, I like that.
Me too.
I like getting the 20.
Someone told him to do it, so I clearly liked it.
I like getting the one. I like getting the 113, and I like getting the 27 first. The 27 first, I won't lie, is probably going to be a contender. Curdy from OTC Fantasy,
and plus it should be a deep draft.
It should be deep. So my general plan was to really get after quarterbacks, and I don't care. I'm going to stockpile. I don't have a roster limit, so. I learned my lesson. So with all of these, everyone saying that nobody's worth anything in this entire draft except for two dudes, rookie draft, I should say at least, which I do have on Sunday. So open to any suggestions as well. It's so funny that everyone trashes you for trading picks and whatnot, but they always want your picks.
Yes.
Especially
27s.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, if, you know, what am I going to do? Do I really want Denzel? Is Denzel Boston going to change my team in the next 2 years? Or is Ty Simpson, Drew Aller, or Carson Beck, if he does get the nod, if Brissett doesn't work out, or if they just move on, or if, you know, things aren't going right and Beck gets in there. Because I need, like, I'll be honest, I need starters immediately, but I didn't have equity to go and trade for, you know, Cam Ward or maybe someone of that nature who, you know, I didn't want to go for an older tied me. I didn't want to give away too much draft equity for a older quarterback because they were all gone. And you know, in my room looks like Justin Fields, mm-hmm. Mitch Trubisky. This is not. This is not intentional for Bears fans. This is not. This was like, you know, the way it was kind of in my mind. I was like, oh, I'll fix the quarterbacks, but this will be fine. And I had Penix, and also Cousins, and then. They, you know, it all just
so fell you apart. Didn't have a quarterback at the end of last season.
No, it was horrible. It was absolutely wretched. Totally botched it. And then things just, you know, I thought Fields, at least for the year, you know, might make it through the Jets year, give me production. I thought Penix was still gonna, you know, get me through and be a good young quarterback for me. And maybe he still will, and he's not off my team. But you know, I didn't even, and then Cousins, I thought was still going to be wavering and potentially playing somewhere else. And then none of that happened, of course. And so then like the cupboard's empty, the cupboard's gone. Mm-hmm. So anyways, really shot myself in the foot with some of that. And so I'm just hitting the reset on the quarterback room. Hey, and if I have the picks, you know, I have the picks now. If anybody, and on draft day, who knows? Maybe someone will want something, and maybe they'll be willing to give me something more. Mm-hmm. Things happen fast, especially during live drafts when guys just walk up to you and want to start talking about deals. Mm-hmm. When you're on the clock, things change. But either way, I'm going to probably end up restocking with younger quarterbacks a little bit early, get some dudes that I want, and then hope those pan out. And then I'll worry about some position things down the road. Yeah. There's always another wide receiver. There's always another, especially in a half PPR. Mm-hmm. I understand giving away Genty was a thing. But by the time I would have been in contention mode, Genty might have been already over the hill. You know, I don't know. But yeah, you know, so that's the thing, is I was just willing to shake it up and say, listen, I got to break this up. I can't hold on to these guys forever. This is already bad. I did acquire Likely as well in that league, just for like a pick swap, basically. A mediocre pick swap. So I was happy to get Likely in the offseason. You know, we are tight end premium. So that was okay. And then I was really kind of nervous about Tucker in the first half of the year. I was like, he's not going to even, you know, could potentially not be on the field. And then with other things going on with the Green Bay, you know, wide receiver room as well. So, you know, it's like live and learn. I'll rest with this. I'll probably rest with this roster draft and then assess and see what everyone else is up to after the draft and then look for some more trades. I haven't got after it yet with TA10, honestly, just, you know, cause I was just kind of taking over someone else's roster.
Yeah.
I
made a couple. It's drops. A lull right now anyway. As it's you'll a see lull. When I get to trades.
I know I got a couple people fired some things in right away when I joined up, but I just said, I'm going to hold, Got a hold for right now, but I always appreciate offers. I'm not always the first to send offers, but I always love getting offers. I'll consider anything and everything. I'm just not fast to pull a trigger. I think that's the deal. I do love talking trade. I love getting trades. I'm just a little more conservative about actually making the trade.
Yeah. And then do you have a quick guiding principle to trading before we get to news?
Yeah. I don't care about necessarily winning a trade. I always honestly, even in my trading life, whether it's just redraft or any of these other leagues I'm in, I honestly am pretty. I always want to honestly give a fair trade.
Yeah.
From my point of view, I always want to offer a fair trade. I never want to send a pile of garbage to another team. As far as like, you know, a garbage offer. I rather have a reputation for sending good deals and making good deals. If I get taken, that's one thing. But as far as what I send out, I tend to want it to be pretty fair and square. You know, I think that's my thing. And just, I don't have to win a trade. Like I just want it to improve my team. whatever you do with your team down the road. I can't predict who's going to get hurt on your team tomorrow or whatever. I just got to kind of do what's best for my team now, unless there's that, hey, you're the top team, I'm the second top team, and might see each other down the road. If I think it's a danger zone, like I don't want to bite me in the butt too much in a championship match. I'll generally just, do what's best for my team.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, let's get to
the news.
We start with Christian Watson, who the official deal was announced today. 4-year, $92 million, $31 million guaranteed. They extended Jaden Reed earlier in the offseason, and Dynasty's question is the answer to Christian Watson or Jaden Reed both? Feels like at least one of them is going to smash in a shallower wide receiver room, so might as well lock them both in. I think the answer, Andrew, and I'll let you go from here, is actually neither.
I knew you were going to say that.
I think it's neither, not both. So what are your thoughts?
I don't know if I feel much differently than I do last year, other than I still love Watson the most out of any of them for most formats as the receiving option. I know that a lot of people are going to say Tucker Kraft is going to be the number one receiver on the Packers again next year. But then there's also a lot of post-rookie hype for Golden. He was a first-round pick. They invested that draft capital into him. I like all of those guys, but once again, just the way that those offenses run, I don't know if any of them are going to be elite options. If I'm trying to fill a receiver slot, I'm taking Watson. Otherwise, yeah, the only receiving option I would take is probably Kraft.
Yeah, that's fair. And Roman says I'm always hating. I'm not hating. I just think that all the Packers wide receivers are the exact same and they all cost too much because they're all the exact same. Yeah. So it's not a hate. I've never liked their value. I've gotten Jaden Reed in the past for I don't even remember what, but and he says Kraft is the only one to really have. Yeah, I think that's right. I think if Kraft's healthy, that's the only one we want. Rocky, do you have a two-word add?
No, I was just going to say, like, I hadn't seen the guarantee. Like, I saw that deal pop out, and I was like, are they friggin' insane? Like,
well, yeah, it was like 100-something, and they took it down this morning. Yeah.
Do you know what it really – I assume it's really maybe like a two-year deal or something? Or
so 31 would be like 15 a year, basically.
So yeah, probably two. I'm wondering, yeah, that they can probably get out after two or three. But, yeah, this doesn't change anything about Watson for me. I think he's I liked him coming out too, but I think he's a mediocre player, and I don't think him getting a whole bunch of money is going to make him better. So if I'm going to take any wide receiver, it's going to be Jaden Reed. He's always been the one with the most upside. Yeah. But like everyone has said, the one I really want there is Tucker Kraft too. So
if Watson stayed on the field, I wouldn't even be second guessing any of it, period.
Right.
But that's the thing. So To be seen.
He hasn't played 17 games yet.
Right. The reality is the only ones I'd probably be after, is probably Watson at the right cost. Yeah. And, depending on how the rest of my team is shaping up, I definitely would still be after Kraft for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We'll burn through the rest of this since it's all kind of minor. Darnell Washington got a $42 million extension, which is just great.
I don't know. Is Darnell Washington a good blocker? Because I can't imagine why else he's getting a $42 million extension.
Right. He's a Georgia tight end. He knows how to block. So
an offensive, extended offensive
value. Yeah, value that a lot. So yeah. I guess, but yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Well, then Myles Garrett left like right before that. So he's blocking. Brandon Ayuk, just. Whatever.
What a disaster.
Issued arrest warrant for misdemeanor, tied to speeding, and then he posted himself driving race cars on Instagram the next day. He's got, and Simon Grinnevelle of Front Yard said this morning, it's got some AB vibes now where he's kind of saying weird stuff and, like, doing weird things. It's just, I don't know, too much time near the substation, I guess.
Not going to be weird on my team, any of my teams.
No. I took him in maybe every eliminator in like the 15th round because if he's a commander, he's going to be a happy guy. So, although Simon said this morning and I didn't have time to look this up, it's like better for the Niners cap if he holds out. They don't pay him anything. So it's like, unless he plays ball, he's not going to get traded because it doesn't do the Niners any good to have him. So whatever. That quote over the weekend was just like not English. I don't remember what he said, but I just remember reading it. It's like, it just wasn't English. Chris Rodriguez has a foot injury, expect to be ready for July camp. Dynasted asked us about this. I didn't even write the question down. He's going to be back. I'm not worried about Rodriguez or Tootin or anything. I think this is just a camp injury that Rocky and I usually kind of glance past unless it means something. Yeah. Brandon Sorsby will be granted eligibility at Texas Tech. Rocky doesn't have to deal with this anymore. Supplemental draft stuff. That's such a mess. There's already like Georgia and Nebraska are boycotting playing Texas Tech going forward, and it's going to be
a joke. There's no way he should be playing. It's horrible for the integrity
of a retired Texas judge was the one who said he could like play in the NCAA, couldn't do anything.
But they said four of the judges were from Texas Tech.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my god. It's crazy.
It's a mess. And Russell Wilson officially announced his retirement. Everyone favorite Russell Wilson moment. I will start the bidding with high knees on the London plane.
Officially limited.
Yeah.
Not unlimited any longer. I lived in Seattle for like 15 years. Yeah. And so I had to deal with all of the peak 12 Seattle years. Like,
as a Bears fan. Yeah, that's not great.
Oh my god. Fireworks every Sunday night go off in my neighborhood. I mean, it was insanity. And like, you know, anyways.
Yeah. All I know is this makes me feel so old. I remember, right? Russell Wilson as a rookie coming in and taking that job from Matt Flynn, I want to say.
Yeah.
Who was supposed to be the starter. Yeah.
In like three games, Matt Flynn was out. He's going to be on CBS in Matt Ryan's spot in the studio. I'm sure he'll be great at that. So good for him. Good career. He came out with his head on straight.
Do the Bears get a compensatory pick for Russell Wilson taking that?
I don't know. They didn't get a compensatory pick for Ian Cunningham, so apparently they don't get anything. It's ridiculous. Don't get me started on that. We're going to do the trades first because there's only two of them.
So. Trade Addicts trade.
First one, Trade Addicts leagues are 12 team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 per tight end reception, 0.05 per return yard. See, the Bears have messed up my reading. in all leagues except TA1, but we have no TA1 trades. We start in TA3. God, neither of these really deserve the music, to be honest. So we're just going to go no music this week. TA3, Travion Henderson and Casey Concepcion for Fernando Mendoza and a 27-second Andrew in Superflex.
Yeah, I like that for sure. I'm just thinking about me and my own situations right now. And this, so yeah, I probably would do that. Like, I'm sorry, I really like Casey Concepcion too coming out. And then, like, all these receivers just went to the wrong place. That's just how it is. If that was a different, if Concepcion was on a different team, I might feel a little bit different. But I'm sorry, it's a starting quarterback for RB. You know, not RB2, but a 1B.
Yep.
And a guy who doesn't have a quarterback. And who can I get in the 27 draft in the second round? Probably someone equal.
Probably someone better than Casey Concepcion. So
I'm really, I'm just looking at it's Trey versus Mendoza. I'd do that in a second.
Yeah. I'm not scared of Kirk Cousins. I know people are.
No.
That's
no.
why they're trading Mendoza away. I'm not scared.
No.
Yeah, I'm also Mendoza in the pick. Basically, for all the reasons you just said, like Henderson, I like his talent, but will he ever, you know, even definitely be the 1A for sure?
Stevenson's like, in the way still, it seems like from camp. So,
and it seems like more of an even split than anything. Maybe he slightly gets more carries, but who knows what Concepcion? I'm never sold on like stud rookies coming out, let alone, you know, a guy that's like the fourth receiver in a mediocre class.
Yeah.
So especially in Cleveland. So So I will take. I'm not even a big Mendoza guy, but like Andrew said, I mean, you're getting a starting quarterback. He's probably going to start very early on, and the second round pick, you could get a player just as good, if not better, than Concepcion, depending on where it ends up falling.
Can you imagine if Casey Concepcion had gone where Deshaun Stribling went, like early second round to San
Francisco? That's what I was hoping.
Yeah.
I was hoping yeah. Niners.
Or Buffalo. Something like that. Could have taken Ayuk's spot.
Anywhere else.
And Dynasty Dufresne says, I live here in Seattle, worst fans in the league. First off, sorry to our Seattle listeners. I love
Seattle. Don't get me wrong. I love Seattle. It was a beautiful place, and I loved it. And it's still my second home my whole life. But, yes. I mean, no. The fans are insufferable.
I can see how that's insufferable. And then we have TA4. We have a Packers trade. Matthew Golden for Josh Jacobs straight up.
God. Yuck.
This feels like contending versus rebuilding. And I don't know the context of this trade, but this feels like someone's rebuilding and wants a shot at Matthew Golden and just.
Or maybe wanting to get out on Jacobs after the legal stuff.
Is he
getting Jacobs for Golden, or is he giving Golden for Jacobs?
That's either one. It's two players in trade addicts. So,
yeah, we're just basically, which side do you like better?
Yeah. Do you like Golden or Jacobs better?
I don't want any piece of this Jacobs stuff anymore. I mean, I just don't. I'm sorry. I try not to, but there comes a point where I don't want you on my team.
You don't want the headache.
I don't want the headache. I don't want that dude. I don't want to have to root for that dude. And so sometimes my personal feelings sway my decisions with the roster a little bit. Not all the time, but, I mean, it'll play out. But, I mean, sorry. Like, nah. I mean, on paper, Jacobs is the one, obviously. But, I mean, it just depends on what that team wants to do.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean – obviously, like you said, it's probably contending versus rebuilding. But I think I would prefer to get a little more for Jacobs.
I was gonna say, this isn't enough. Going
around. Yeah, like I'm that's not a Golden believer, and his stock is just plummeted after his rookie year.
He hasn't done anything.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like you need to get, even if you're trying to sell in a rebuild, I feel like you need to get a little more for Jacobs than Matthew Golden straight up.
Sorry, I'm trying to find where Golden is in these rankings so I can, like, pick a different guy.
You keep scrolling down. It's down, down, down.
He's wide receiver 41 in Football Guys. That's way too high. Like, Wandale, I'd rather have.
Yes.
Quentin Johnston, I'd rather have. Yep. Sutton, I'd rather have. Pittman, Higgins, Adams. I'm going down, by the way, not up. Godwin, Worthy, Jacoby.
Golden is above all those guys?
This has got to be an age thing.
It's an age thing.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely is. But that's still wild to me. Like you said, he's done squat. So,
and we like Football Guys, for the record. We've had a lot of guests from them.
Yeah, we just had Dave. You just had Dave on, okay?
Yes. Yes. We had Dave and Jeff Blaylock and a bunch of others. I it's not enough for Jacobs for me. I like –
another player, or it has to be some kind of really, really decent pick. I mean, but I'd probably say probably another player.
Yeah, a second, I'm happy. That's fine. I don't need a first because I'm not going to get one. But
no,
I'll take a second or a couple of thirds, or it needs to be a little bit more. Okay, listener questions.
You've got mail.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
I think it's too long. I need to shorten it. I think it's too long. Give me the time off. I'll figure it out.
I think you'll leave the Arnold in there though. Take out the Yugo mail.
Okay. I wanted to ride that on the back of like the Frank in the chat AIM thing, but maybe that's too much. Okay. We start with Dynastud and Jeff Blaylock's answers on I asked your favorite game system because holy Lord, what a week we had in video games. We have an Ocarina of Time announcement. We have Kingdom Hearts 4. We have Final Fantasy 7 3. We have all these other things that are coming out. Rocky knows what maybe one of those things are.
I'm probably right there with Rocky. I mean, yeah. I know the names. I will admit,
I knew Zelda and Final Fantasy. So I never played either game, but I played like OG Legend of Zelda. I never played Ocarina of
Time. They are remaking the one from 1998, Ocarina of Time, completely new, and it looks pretty good. So. Cool. Dynastud's answer on favorite game system was Sega Genesis. Still remember playing World Series Baseball on that bad boy. Even went back to it years later when I upgraded to PlayStation. And then Jeff Blaylock sent something called an Intellivision that I have never seen before.
Oh, I played Intellivision.
It looked like a router with like a controller coming out of it.
Yeah, it's from the 80s, old school, I think.
First video game system. He said takes me back when video games had very simple, descriptive, delivers what it promises names like skiing and baseball.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that. That was funny.
Andrew, you were going back and forth with him a little bit, but what was your system?
Oh, my first system was definitely the original NES, Nintendo. That was the first game system our family got. That was like the big Christmas gift, and it was the triple pack. So we had the controllers. We had the gun for Duck Hunt.
Yeah.
And then we also got the power pad for all of the like Olympic games and whatnot.
Oh, like skiing and stuff. Yes. I remember.
Yeah. So it had the big square pad. You'd run and jump on it. Kind of looked like a twister mat, you know?
Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, so that was our first game system. Was really, yeah, it was awesome. And then I don't know what happened. Like my brother's a few years younger than me. And then I just got wrapped up with other stuff, and then I just didn't keep playing. I know then we got the next thing we got was Sega Genesis. That was the next game system, and so I played that for a little bit with my brother, but then he just kind of kept gaming, and then I just didn't, and then I just fell off, and then I kind of came back into games a little bit with my best buds around around GoldenEye time. Yes. That's when I came back into the mix, and then I fell right off the table again. Then I was just back into my life, and I was just not gaming. So that's kind of where I stopped. And now, I'll give you a teaser though. I did promise early on when they announced that, the Scottfish theme was going to be video games.
Yep.
I said, I promise whether I get in back into Scottfish or not, I said, I got to make a donation. So if you're good, Rocky, where are you going to be? In Chicago Live? Where are you? Where are you going?
No, he's Philly.
I'm in Philly. He doesn't come live though.
You're a Philly guy. Sorry, but I promised I was going to donate. So this is going to be at Scott Fish. If you have one raffle ticket, you could come up to the table and pick up this old school game system. It's got 620 old school 8-bit games on it. It's got Super Mario, Mario 3. It's got Excitebike.
Oh, this is loaded. I like that.
It's pre-loaded. You just got to plug it into your TV, and you're playing.
With the cords that probably don't exist anymore. You probably have to find those cords somewhere.
No, you plug it right in. Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time. It's got all kinds of games on this thing. Things I've never even heard of. Burger Time. So this is going to be. I got a few things I'm bringing, but this is going to be one. This is thematically, this is going to be one of the donations for Scott Fish raffle. So if you see it up at the table, grab it. It's like automatic fun. I've got my little girl.
Don't grab it.
Well, grab it. Pick it up gently, and then legally, and then. But yeah, no, I got my daughters playing Mario 3 now, and so they're getting introduced to all of the old games, and I'm Tetris. All of them are on there, so it's a really fun, just easy thing to do, to stick with the theme. So yeah, look out for
patreon.com/TreyXPod. You can see his beautiful Super Nintendo. That was what it was.
What was that
you just held up?
Oh yeah, this right here.
Yeah, it's a beautiful console. Patreon.com/TreyXPod.
Oh yeah, it's like mini too. Yeah. So they shrunk the size.
Yeah. Rocky, your first system? Pong. Probably.
I think I actually had Atari 2600, which is super old. I don't really remember any games. But I really remember, I'm kind of like Andrew too, where I played video games a lot as a kid, but I just like, I fell off the table once I got into like my 20s. So But I got the Nintendo. I got the Nintendo when it first came out. I remember, the main game I remember playing all the time is Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'm trying to think what else. And then I did go on like he said. I got Sega Genesis. I think I got a PlayStation before. Then by the time like 2000 came around, I'm already in my early to mid 20s because I'm old. Yeah. So and it's around then I stopped really getting systems.
No shame, Rocky.
That's basically all I ever play. Is occasionally my son asks me to play Madden with him, and I suck at it. But
it's too many buttons now. It's too complicated. Yeah. That was not an age joke at Rocky, by the way. I legit thought it was Pong or something like that for a second. I couldn't remember. It was someone said Pong on this show before. Yeah, mine was N64, Super Mario 64. All that stuff was my gem growing
up. Oh, yeah, and I actually was playing OG Super Mario Brothers on the Nintendo.
Yeah.
You know, Rocky, maybe you were like me too. Like, I didn't always play the games at my house because I didn't always own them all, too, because they were all like 50 or 60 bucks and my parents were buying me games. But, like, played a lot at the arcade. We played a lot at the arcade. Like, Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, you know, all these Michael Jackson Moonwalker, all these kind of crazy, like Ninja
Michael
you know,
Jackson Moonwalker.
Oh my gosh. Rocky knows what I'm talking about, hopefully. But, anyways, you know, we'd go to the bowling alley and, like, it was just the arcade, or if you're at the mall, arcade, Aladdin's Castle, we'd have here. You know, there was always an arcade to go to. So, there was a lot of arcade play, too.
Michael Jackson Moonwalker is a 1988 anthology musical film starring Michael Jackson blending elaborate music videos.
Well, they must have made a video game.
Fantastical storytelling.
They did. It's crazy.
Oh, this is a movie.
Movie. They turned into an arcade game. It was crazy. You know, he's sitting there spinning around and like, you know, you're hearing hee hee and he's like, you know, bad guys are exploding. You know, it was wild. It was you know, MJ's time. Make money off of it.
They literally made games out of anything back then. That's so great.
I will be. No, that's a good idea. I will. After the pod, I'll go post a clip of Michael Jackson Moonwalker video game on Twitter. I'll tag us all.
In the morning. So when you have that ready, and we can jump on the back of that. I wanted to look if there was a Spaceballs video game, just because that feels like it fits into.
I don't know if there was. I don't
crazy
know.
Games, and it looks like there was not.
But the new Spaceballs movie is coming out.
Yeah, oh, God. They're going to make one.
Looks horrible, but, you know, I'm happy to see Rick Moranis again. So
yes. Russ is going to come on and scream at you. He likes is it Mel Brooks or Mel Gibson? I always get them back.
Mel Brooks. Opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I never remember who's what. It's Mel Brooks, right? Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, we can get back to football questions now. Dynasted, how much do you weigh year one upside, downside in rookie evaluation? So, for instance, would you rather draft Tyson or Lemon lower, knowing he wrote this poorly? Ari, get better. Knowing that they're both sitting out some of the offseason program with injury and missing critical time to get up to speed by week one. He wrote this poorly. I think
he's saying, given that they might not be ready at the start of the season or up to speed, would you draft them lower? Would you draft them lower in rookie drafts?
No.
And I agree. I could care less about the beginning of the rookie season.
Yeah.
No. I mean, no one's saying that about Luther Burden right now.
Yeah. Right.
Do you know what I mean? They're not him, but you know what I mean? If anything, Tyson and Burden are maybe comparable, more even probably
Lemon.
A little bit more than Lemon. It's just in my view. Maybe Lemon turns out to be very, you know, not a hater, just as far as maybe some more big playability for Burden and Tyson over Lemon, you know, just with where they're at.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't think there's much to add. Post-rookie drafts, lots of people are cutting players. I loved this question, even though I don't have an answer to it. Are cutting players to get under roster limits. Who are the players you're finding yourself cutting the most? Any commonly cut players that you're interested in adding off your bench? Adding Caleb Johnson. Yeah, I'll fall for this one more time. Why not? If people are dropping him for free, I'll take it.
I saw that one clip from training camp.
Yeah, everyone did, and I stopped dropping. So.
No, I, you know, there's no way he's that bad.
Yeah.
I don't believe that. I don't believe I don't believe he's that bad. I just think it's like, well, I mean, will there be a chance for opportunity? You know, Heidenreich's in town now. The Eli Heidenreich believers. So it's just, you know, there's a lot of mouths in that backfield to like try and figure it out right now, to be honest. So
yeah.
This question assumes I actually look at the waiver wire in June.
Yeah, we're going to get to that after that.
So I don't really have anybody. Although I would absolutely pick up Caleb Johnson if I was looking at the waiver wire and he was there. It's worth
Ari
it.
I say this with love as kind of a sicko when it comes to this stuff because he sniffs out waiver wires and then trades them. So he's actually pretty good at this. But it's hard to look at cut players like this because – I was trying to go through and let me pull up a league where I just did a bunch of cuts, but I think I dropped like
most of my cut players tend to be guys who are not on teams because I'm in teams. The majority of my leagues are 30 plus rosters.
Yeah.
And I have like Adam Thielen's on my rosters and
Jahan Dotson. I dropped Ben Sinnott. I dropped, which kind of hurt, but that happened. Mechie. I dropped. Mixon I dropped. I'm not he's not coming back. I'm not falling.
They never even said what was really wrong.
I have Mixon on rosters, yes.
He just missed last year and they just said, no, he's gone.
Yeah.
He's
cut
Philip
Rivers, which I know everyone's so sad about.
Oh.
I did just drop Russell Wilson in the league.
Yes.
But you just picked up Philip Rivers' son.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. Yeah, he's what, Stanford? Something like that.
Yeah, he's a couple years out.
No, maybe Temple. I don't remember. He's one of those red schools. But like you're talking to a pod where Russ dropped Andrew Luck like a year ago. I mean, hold on to these players as long as you can. You never know. And like Rocky dropping Russ Wilson makes sense. I think it's a weird world where Russ comes back. I think he's going to be very comfortable.
Yeah, I usually do. I a lot of times do tend to hold on to those guys, but yeah, I did not hold on to, at least in this league, I did not.
He's not good enough to come back.
I don't have enough of a track record, obviously, in Dynasty to be able to, like I said earlier in the show, to like speak to like, you know, some of these decisions you have to make. And sometimes it's just, you know, it's for humor's sake, you're having a guy on there or. You know, or old luck for
fun. Hey, man,
fun.
I had Tebow for like 3 years after he retired. So
that's a problem. But, you know, I can guarantee myself moving forward with Dynasty that, like, as soon as these kind of things happen, I think within a fair amount of time, gone.
Yes.
Like, you have to move forward. Everyone's always looking to get a pick, but you're looking to hold on to a guy who's 50. Like, no, it doesn't make sense. So. Yeah.
I was just looking. Like, the league I was just talking about where I dropped Thielen and Russell Wilson, I still have, like, five guys who are listed as free agent on MFL. Like, I have Chubb, Eckler, Miles Sanders, Zamir White. Like, I'm not hurting the drop. I'm not dropping viable players in a lot of my leagues. That's usually what happens is guys that are not signed, I tend to have still some of them on my roster. And
I get it. I get it. Drop though.
Because my rosters are general. Like this league, I think is like 34 players deep. So like you just end up having these guys. I'm generally not dropping guys that have any value whatsoever.
I'm just picking TA10 since it's a league we're all in to see if, cause he asked who you would pick up if people dropped them. I'm seeing, I like Pat Bryant still. He was dropped. I'm probably giving Andrew all the freaking waivers, but it's fine.
No, don't worry about it.
Alec Iomanner was dropped. That feels early.
That does feel early. I saw that too on the first waiver run. I'm like, he's still like viable. I think.
Yeah.
Everyone was loving him at the beginning of last year and then 1 year comes and Wandell and Carnell show up, and I guess he's just not so Helic anymore, I guess.
Herms dropped Brendan Sorsby. I don't know how he got him in the first place.
I think that was like when we did the rookie draft, he accidentally took him and he dropped him because we didn't make a
whole thing about him, I think, in the chat.
Someone dropped Taj Brooks. Like, that's fine, I guess. Njoku, that's a weird one. Rashard Smith, yes, I think is a good drop. You can be done with him, I think, because we're going to get to his replacement in a second. But that's kind of the people. Like, I'm not done with Pat Bryant or Franklin for that matter.
No.
If that offense is good, one of them's going to do something. So that's it though. Okay. This is a commissioner question. I think, should there be a fifth round of rookie drafts? Rocky?
No.
No, agreed. Community is not split, by the way. I don't know what community you're in, but
my rookie draft on Sunday's got six rounds. So
the one league I'm in that has five rounds is the one I was just talking about with the 34 man rosters, but also we draft first round picks 2 years out. So like in this draft, you can draft 28 firsts in the draft.
That's
the only reason we have futures an extra round. Yeah, so you have to draft your 28 first to keep it.
Do you hold it as a roster slot, or does it just go in the pick order like anything else?
Well, we create custom players to draft it, but then
you kick them to roster.
Like the way we got 28 first in MFL this year, then I just trade. I take them all, put them on my team, then I trade them once everybody selects.
Okay,
them.
That I like. But if you're doing six rounds of
Look at this year's fourth round. Like, do you want to pick anybody in this year's?
You're drafting fourth air round? In the sixth round of the 2026 rookie draft. Maybe. I mean, yeah. Oh, look at Andrew. He's gonna have some sneaky
stuff. Some years there's some fun fourth round picks. This year there's not. And I would hate to have to do a fifth in most drafts.
Hey, I gotta get Justin Jolly sometime, okay?
That's actually late. That's surprising that you got him all the way late then. But
he'll probably go, but you know, who really knows?
I got him at the 409 in TA10.
So pushing five.
Yeah.
Depending on what your flavor, you know.
Yeah. I can't even imagine who you're going to be staring at the top of the sixth.
It's not going to be good, but someone's going to be. I'm going to have to pick them, but then I will.
Yeah. Anyways, when do you think the ideal time is for waivers to open post rookie drafts? So I'm going to speak for Trade Addicts, and Rocky's going to correct me. It's always the Wednesday after the last rookie draft, I believe.
I think Rocky, it's just the Wednesday after. Whatever
that rookie draft,
in
TA, it's not the whole league. Okay,
I think he opens waivers as soon as
like
the first, unless it's like maybe we end on a Tuesday night or something like that. But generally, like if you get at least a couple day buffer, I think it's usually
it's the next Wednesday that's not the day after, basically the next waiver day. So, Andrew, when do you think is the best time to open waivers?
Oh, in regards to just the league in general.
Yeah, for Dynasty after the rookie draft. So usually this is actually probably something you're still learning. Dynasty. In Dynasty, you lock everything when the season's over until the rookie draft, and then waivers open on the other end. So we usually do it like the Wednesday after, like a week or so after. So does that sound right in your mind, or would you do it earlier?
Later? Hey, as soon as the rookie draft's over, as long as everyone's comfortable, like, you know, getting their ducks in a row for like, you know, the next week or so, let everyone, you know, drink it in for a minute.
Yep.
That seems totally fair to me.
Yeah. Okay. Part of me didn't even want to put this question on, but it's kind of funny. How much fab are you bidding on possible Chiefs RB2 Amari DiMercato? Walker doesn't exactly have a sterling history of health. Okay, can I be honest with you? Until just this second, I thought it was the rookie
Emmett Johnson
that he was talking about. Yeah. Until
second. That's who you want. I was going to say. Emmett Johnson, baby.
I'm like, wait a second.
He's probably the guy I've grabbed most in the mid to late second round is Emmett Johnson.
I read this question like three times today. And I'm like, you thought it was Emmett Johnson about every time. Why is Emmett Johnson on waivers? And just for some reason, it was just my brain rejected the fact that Amari DiMercato should be picked up in leagues.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're guys.
Yeah,
just some of these guys that we talk about, you know, and I know it's Dynasty. And the thing is, we wouldn't be talking about, but we have 35 player rosters. But these are just guys, and so I just don't put a lot of thought into them unless it's like a long term, like it feels like an immediate, like good handcuff long term situation that you're trying to, you know, protect your roster in some way. Like, I just don't give any of these guys much thought until I probably need to.
Yeah.
Like, I it's just one of those, I'm sorry. It's like, I just kind of, like I said earlier, there's always going to be another receiver who catches 40 passes in a year. Mm-hmm. It just depends if they have got a good quarterback or not. And that maybe they'll have some value, but these guys like Amari DiMercato and fill in the blank, are you actually going to benefit my fantasy team in any way?
Samaje Perine theory.
Samaje. I mean, but that was pretty few and far between for even Samaje to really help your roster in a starting role. I mean, and if you're starting him, I'm guessing you're probably not contending.
Yep.
Which leads me to actually my last question.
Yeah.
Because now that I've been in a year and I see you guys and all the other great Dynasty content out there, because everyone's putting out some really good stuff and I'm trying to absorb as much as I can. Does anybody actually want to win their Dynasty League?
Or no, it's just, more fun to rebuild.
Is this just a giant pyramid scheme to trade? I could
a little bit.
Yeah, it depends.
I feel like I'm one of the few that is trying to win.
It I'm like, I never hear anyone say, I won my Dynasty League this year. It's just like, no, I made a trade.
It depends on the league. If you have leagues like TA6 or TA8 where you have a J Mike and a Tyler whose teams are just so far and above everyone else's, it's more fun to rebuild because, like, what the hell are you competing for? You're just going to run into
and that's generally how they did it, too, is they went long-term and made good choices. And now they're going to
say, J-Mike did it by having the entire, like, 2021 first round and took Chase and everyone else and just looks like a god afterwards. Sure, so
I get that.
The answer is yes. The other answer is it's very fun to rebuild and watch, like, your team sucks, but just watch that pick stack get bigger and bigger and bigger.
I get it. I get it.
Picks get better. And especially if you watch like any college football, get to watch Jeremiah Smith. I know Michigan. I'm sorry, but he's good. He's good.
No, he's great. I don't have any of that kind of weird, like, oh no, I won't. Yeah. No, trust me. If I get the 101 next year and I can draft, or, you know, I'll get Jeremiah Smith. Trust me. He'll be on the team.
he's watching him and knowing he's going to be in your team is a fun feeling. So
yeah, totally. I get it.
Also, before we jump off the Chiefs have like 7 running backs on the team. They have Amari DiMercato, Emmett Johnson, Breshard Smith, Jaden Ott, EJ Smith, and Justin Fields. They have 7 running backs. So
I will be holding Justin Fields then. No.
Yeah. He's going to do some gimmicky thing in case I can already see it. They're going to figure out how to do the Philly special with him. So, anyways, that's the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. Andrew, you survived your first show. Thank you for coming on. Before we head out, why don't you remind everyone your socials, where they can find your stuff?
Follow me anywhere, guys. I'm at Andrew Loophole on most things. If you just search my name, you can find me there. I love, I love doing the social part of social media as well. So that's why I'm stoked to see everybody. In a couple of weeks here at Scott Fishbowl Chicago Live up in Bartlett at Moretti's. I'm working with Steven on a few things. Hopefully I'll be working the table and greeting people and getting people registered in. I'm working also on doing a lot of raffle collecting. If anyone has anything they'd like to donate to the raffle in the Chicago Live area, please reach out to Steven or myself. We'd be happy to connect with you guys and collect some more donations. We got some awesome stuff lined up. That's all I can say right now. But there are some really amazing things coming to the raffle this year.
Yes. There have been a lot of kind of hype up shows for the different live drafts. Hey, Steven Roto, get off your butt and do a hype show. Let's do it. I want to be in the chat for that.
Yeah, we got to do that. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's great. Let's hope for that. It's a while away relative to the others. I think like Vegas is like this week, I think.
Yeah, Vegas is this week. And then I just saw my other old Chicago Live partner for a couple drafts, Pete Sandoval. He's with sports affiliation. And I know JC's going to be coming down for our live in Chicago as well, JC Money. So it'll be cool to, I've been, you know, always a big fan of theirs and Iggy with the FF7's IDP. Mm-hmm. I did that last year. That was a blast. Looking forward to that again. So like, looking forward just to seeing a lot of faces, man. Yes. That's what it's about for me. I love yes. trying to do some good and see all of you guys not on a screen. That's what it's yes. about for me.
Yes. Okay, our stuff. Before I get to our stuff, scheduling note. I said this a few weeks ago. We are taking the next few weeks off. I am getting ready to go on my honeymoon, and
congratulations,
Rocky's got
dude.
Some stuff. Thank you. Rocky's got some stuff going on in his life, so leaving him the keys completely to the show feels unfair. So we're going to take a few weeks off. It's the lull in June. As you've seen, we've had two trades in the last 2 weeks. It's quiet. AJ Brown got traded. There's not a ton happening, which means like Joe Burrow's going to get traded to Cleveland tomorrow because we're not doing yes. a show. We will be back July, I wrote it down, 7th with Dynastud, who will be getting up at an ungodly hour where he is, but he's coming on to do this, and he has already told me he will be tracking the news while I'm gone, so I don't have to do it, which I sincerely appreciate. So we'll have, like, I'm sure some 2.5-hour special with Dynastud when we get back, which I know Rocky is already excited about. And our stuff, patreon.com/JoeXPod. You can watch us where we record. We also have our Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club, Fantasy Cares. I wanted to promote someone who helped make like an Avi for me this year. So Avis aren't going, but right. Michael, which his handle on Twitter is, I had it open, Mr. Aladdin 23. He works for Battle of the Sexes tournament. He helps run that. He manages a new tournament or a new platform called DLR Fantasy, which is Dynasty Locker Room on Twitter. So everyone go support him, go give a donation to Fantasy Cares. They'll put together like a really, really good picture for you. That's like awesome. The Avis kind of did. So it was awesome. Underdog, $5 best ball drafts, SFB merch store, and the shows. We have trivia on Tuesday nights and the Wednesday night hangout. So we will see y'all in a few weeks. As Russ Fisher always told us, if you have a training problem, you're never alone. Good night, everybody.
Night, Frank.
Thank you for listening to the Great Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants. That is the best. See ya.